Blog Talk Radio.
This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Basically, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on nature for the enemy. They have a policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media to just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies, and I just like to say, fuck them.
And as Lewis said, what did that man say? He said, fuck them. But, no, I got some good stuff for you today. And, Art sent me this one today, and this one's called The White House Demands Military Prisons for Americans Under NDAA. We're on right now. There's just like a 10-second delay going through the phone, but other than that, everything's good. And Art sent me this today, and I'm gonna put it up in the chat room right now, but in case anyone wants to go look at it. But the White House demanded that we get, we don't have enough prisons. We got the most people in prison in the world. But according to this, this is we the people's government. And the White House has asked the second U.S. Court of Appeals to place an emergency stay on a ruling made last week by a federal judge so that the president's power to indefinitely detain Americans while charged is reaffirmed immediately. And I told you guys about this last week, that Catherine Forrest, who's a district court judge, United States court judge, made a permanent temporary injunction she issued in May. Only hours after Judge Forrest issued last week's ruling, the Obama administration threatened to appeal the decision, and on Monday morning they followed through. At around 9 a.m. on Monday, September 17th, the White House filed an emergency stay in federal appeals court in an effort to have the second strip away of Judge Forrest's ruling earlier that week. Let me see. Hello there. Is that you? Stacy, are you there?
Oh, yeah, I'm here.
Okay, I'm going to read this and then I'll be back.
All right, cool.
All right, and then we'll open it up for discussion. Almost immediately, the Obama administration writes criticizes that opposed the prize money journalists that listed as the lead plaintiff in the case. But according to Hodges, the government called Judge Forrest's most recent ruling extraordinary injunction of worldwide scope. Executive branch attorneys worked into the weekend to find a way to file their stay. Justice Department sent a letter to Forrest and the Second Circuit late Friday night informing that at 9 a.m. Monday, Obama's administration would ask the Second Court for an emergency stay that would lift Forrest's injunction. This would allow Obama to continue to operate with indefinite detention authority until a formal appeal was heard. The government's decision has triggered a constitutional showdown between the president and the judiciary. Attorney Carl Mayer, counsel for Hodges and his co-plaintiffs, confirmed to early Monday that the stay was in fact filed with the Second Court. This may be the most significant constitutional standoff since the Pentagon Papers case, said Carl Mayer in a separate statement posted on Mr. Hedges' blog. Bruce Safran, who serves as co-lead counsel along with Mayer, tells Hodges that the White House could be waging a war against the injunction to assure that Obama's administration has ample time to turn the NDA against any protesters participating in domestic demonstrations. A Department of Homeland Security bulletin issued Friday claiming that the riots in the Middle East are likely to come to the U.S. and saying that DHS is looking for Islamic leaders of these likely riots. It's my view that this is why the government wants to reopen the NDA. It has a tool to round up would-be Islamic protesters before they can launch any protests, violent or otherwise. Right now, there are no legal tools to arrest would-be protesters. Well, geez, didn't he make a free speech a felony at a protest? An NDA would give the government such power since the request to vacate the injunction only comes on about on the day of the riots and following the DHS bulletin. It seems to me that the two are connected. The government wants to reopen the NDA injunction so they can use it to block protests. What do you think about that so far?
I don't know. I have mixed views. Keep going.
Okay. Hodges is freely reported for papers, including the New York Times and the Christian Science Monitor, argued that his job as a journalist requires him to routinely interact and converse with persons that may be considered terrorists in the eyes of the government. Under NDAA, Americans who as part of or substantially supported al-Qaeda, the Taliban, are associated forces that are engaged in hostilities across the United States or as coalition partners can be held in prison cells until the end of the hostilities. So if you got busted in 2001, you're still sitting in jail. Vague verbiage that essentially allows for those suspects of such associations to be decided under the discretion of Barack Obama, president, or any federal agent underneath him. Because the language is so vague in this law, Mr. Mayer explains to RT, if any journalist or activist is seen as reporting or offering opinions about groups that could somehow be linked not just to al-Qaeda, but to any opponent of the United States or even opponents of his allies. He spent many years in countries where the military had the power to arrest and detain citizens without charge. Hodges wrote when he filed his suit in January, I have been in some of these jails. I have friends and colleagues who have disappeared into military gulags. I know the consequences of granting sweeping and unrestricted policing policy power to the armed forces of any nation. And while my battle may be chaotic, it's one that has to be fought if we are able to have any hope for pulling this country back from corporate fascism. Monday morning, Hodges once more responded to the White House's relentless attempts to reauthorize powers granted under NDAA, asking if the administration is this anxious to restore the section of the NDAA, it is because the Obama government has already used it, or does it have plans to use the section in the immediate future? Decision vigorously fought Forrest's ruling for a further example of Obama's White House study and relentless assault against civil liberties, an assault that is more severe than that carried out by George W. Bush, Rich Hodges. Obama has refused to restore the habeas corpus. He supports the FISA Amendment Act, which retroactively makes legal what under our Constitution has been traditionally illegal, warrantless wiretapping, eavesdropping, and monitoring directed against U.S. citizens. He's used the Espionage Act 6 times against whistleblowers who have exposed government crimes, including war crimes, to the public. He interprets the 2001 Authorization of Military Force Act as giving him the authority to assassinate U.S. citizens, as he did in the cleric Anwar al-Awlaki, and now he wants the right to use the armed forces to throw U.S. citizens into military prisons while they have no right to a trial and no defined length of detention. In his latest post, Hodges acknowledged the government has now lost 4 times in litigation that has gone on almost 9 months. Getting fucking worse every day.
So, basically, part of this, what you're talking about here, if they even think that you're any type of threat anyhow, anyway, they're going to be able to swoop you up. And
they don't have to tell anybody where you're at either.
No, in the mountains of Arcadia up in Canada, right?
Yeah, or south in Mexico somewhere. On the beach.
And, you know, that worries me just on a small, you know, margin, because for every, let's say, 1 or 2 people that could have seriously done some harm somehow, some way, they're going to be picking up 3, 4, 5, and 6 who haven't done anything but maybe voice an opinion or a concern about something. You know, there's going to be a lot of bullshit like that. And, you know, then it's going to come down to what they deem as, you know, terroristic type of activity, and it'll all be fine lines, you know, all the way up to like white collar.
Yeah. If anybody's listening on Skype, that's where you're getting the reverb from, because it doesn't work too good when you're in the chat room. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Yeah, some words you're gonna hear that double because of the echo. It's when you're wearing headphones and you're going on Skype. Go ahead, Stacey.
Yeah, well, that, you know, I just voiced what I thought, you know. It just, I mean, and where are they going to put, well, you know, okay, we just said, you know, goofingly, the mountains or, you know, down over the state line. But if they're going to round up, like, large groups of people and stuff, you know, I'm, like, thinking, like, those damn, what, prisoner of war camps?
Yeah, there's a brand new prison in Illinois somewhere. I forget where.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, let me ask Nora. She might know where it's at.
Cool.
Yes, it's called the Thompson Center. It's brand new, never been used.
The what now?
It's been sitting there. It's called the Thompson
Center. That's one of the ones they're going to use.
Yeah, that's down towards central southern Illinois. Never been used, never even been walked through. Well, it could have been walked through, but, you know, other than that, nothing.
Wow.
Been sitting there for years. Well, you have to go back as far as when Thompson was a governor here. So, yeah, it's been a long time. It just sits there not being used at all. They were actually looking at the Thompson Center, and then there's a facility up north that's close to the Wisconsin border. When they were thinking about moving the detainees from Guantanamo Bay, they were going to place them in one of the two sites here in Illinois.
Yeah.
But they didn't do that.
Hmm. Well, you know, Obama did, like Art says here, Obama did say he would never use detainment as part of NDAA. But, you know, that's bullshit.
Right.
Let me, excuse me. Let me see who this is. 760-310?
That's me.
Hey, what's up? You want to plug
it's
this day out thing?
It's Mona, yeah. How are you?
Good, how are you?
Is this Bill or Phil?
No, Bill's not here on Tuesdays. He's with his mom.
Oh, okay. Hi, Bill. How are you? Hello?
Well, answer.
Huh?
Yeah. Good. How are you?
No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, but she calls him Bill. That's Phil.
I know.
That's funny.
So what's up with the sale thing? How was the turnout?
It was okay. There was kind of a few people there, but we have another one. I put it on your Facebook yesterday, I think it was, for tomorrow at Breakwater Brewery Company right there on Coast Highway. And what is that, Seagate's right there?
Yeah.
So, yeah, we have another benefit tomorrow. So I was just wanted to announce that. It starts around, I think it's like kind of like an all-day thing. So just come on down and show support, donate some money.
What
time
does it start in the morning?
It probably starts right when they open around noon.
Okay. And then
yeah.
Runs close.
Are you going to come by?
I'll see. It depends
okay.
on my schedule.
Okay, well, let me know. You know my number, so call me up and let me know. I'll be there.
Okay.
All right, I'll talk to you guys soon. I got to get going. I got a date.
All right, see you later. Have fun.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That was interesting. Bill.
Well, they're going to build a bronze statue for Junior Seau downtown.
Nice.
So they're collecting donations and stuff to do it.
Yeah, I had that link put up on my Facebook page for a while, the Junior Seau Foundation.
Sorry, I was being a smart ass. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, so, you know, it's like this NDA, according to what I read, too, Bob just wrote this in there, but it'll remain in effect until at least September 28th when the three-judge panel is selected to begin addressing the issue. So these are all federally appointed judges, so you know which way they're going to.
Dark days are coming, dark days.
Buy ammo and canned goods.
No doubt.
Yeah. Yeah, we were going to have, it's called Dead Model for Hire. what happened was that, first of all, I need to apologize because due to scheduling conflicts and filming of a TV show, I immediately won't be able to join us tonight, or Paul or Martin. They might pop in later on a break or something, but they're all scheduled again for Tuesday or Thursday.
Awesome.
So, I wanted to let you guys know that. Yeah, you're right. Time to somebody agrees with you, Stacy. Time to move to the mountains and grow your own food.
Oh yeah, man, I'm all about that. I always say that. You know, some of my friends are like, because we live right on the ocean. Oh, I'll get a boat, and go out to sea. No way. You know, out there in the sun and the salt and the, no way. You head for the mountains. You find yourself a bear cave. You crawl up on in it. You give a big roar and kick the bear out, and you make it your cave, and that's it.
I kick the bear out, shoot him, and now you got a nice bear rug.
Well, yeah, you could do that too, but you better make sure you get him on the first shot. I mean,
I never miss.
The New Hampshire mountains up here, we got the big brown bears, but when I was living in Michigan, the upper part, like the Saginaw area and the UP, that's black bear country, and they got like signs all over the place warning you, you know, don't mess with the bears, you know, don't leave your stuff out, et cetera, because black bears are like, I think, number two and number three on the list for aggressive bears that will go after people, and they don't play, not at all.
No, and then it's like, you know, going along with getting detained and, you know, we have this thing out here in Nevada, in Reno, and it's called Street Vibrations. It's a big biker rally the week before Vegas. Actually, it's this week. It's 2 weeks before Vegas. And, it's the week before Vegas, which I'm going to. But they have a no-colors policy in effect. Somebody made an interesting point because the motor cops are all wearing colors. And according to what Bobby told me, he was gonna start asking questions. Which is cool. See what they say. But the other, let's see. Yeah, he just sent me a copy of the official announcement of this new policy. Reads: Street Vibrations Fall Rally is a no-colors event this year and will be going forward. Bikers can be recognized by their colors and vests they wear. Basically, anything you're wearing, what they construe to be colors, you're going to get screwed.
Right. Do you think that will damp off the people going?
No. They just won't go downtown and support the event. They'll go everywhere else but there.
Right.
They'll go where they're welcomed. Nevada's broke like California. That's it. You know?
The people welcome them, some good money.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't, you know, you could go to church and get in a fist fight. It doesn't matter where you're at.
Being your front yard.
Exactly.
To get the fist fight.
So depending on how and where it's enforced, this year's no colors policy may wind up being argued in federal court. The issue has been litigated numerous times. The colors disappeared from the law from River Run a decade ago after the last previous casino shootout in Nevada. But existing federal law makes it legal to ban patches and other indicators like a bandana in a back pocket from private property. But most Street Vibrations is held on public streets and parks. Courthouse grounds and other public spaces are considered to be public forums. Lawyers and judges usually see this as Latin fora. Beyond the Ninth Circuit Court, it has ruled that motorcycle club insignia is protected expression under the First Amendment. For example, in a 2002 case with the clumsy name Martino versus First Judicial Court in and for the County of Carson City, the Ninth Circuit Court wrote, to hold otherwise would be to allow discrimination in favor of garden clubs and gun clubs and the points of view associated with these organizations and discrimination against bike clubs and their associated points of view. The ban is clearly meant to apply to the collective membership marks of the Vagos and the Hells Angels. It will be interesting to see if it applies to the patches of ears, corporate creations like the Sons of Anarchy and the Sinister Mob Syndicate. Here we go again.
Uh-uh-uh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it brings up a couple of good points about just exactly what the colors and how, you know, how they'll pick and choose that. That'll be interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Because the colors, well, Bobby's writing in the chat room for me, but I was going to touch on it anyway. But the colors are defined as outlaw motorcycle clubs bearing 3 and 4 patch insignias on their outerwear. Someone called a couple of hotels in Reno, and apparently they have plenty of rooms, but a lot of people aren't going.
Mm.
They'd rather go to Vegas. The code of conduct enforcement will also apply to soft colors, hats, bandanas, shoelaces, and T-shirts. Go naked and wear a suit and tie. Yeah.
Huh?
Many of the least expensive hotels not on the main strip have multiple rooms available and bikers are allowed, same as always, but many people are now catching on about the no colors enforcement. But let me play this and I'll be right back. I got going on. I'll be right back.
Have you ever had one of those days when nothing goes right? Your wife starts bitching about whatever it was she was bitching about last night. So you escape into the bathroom just to sit there on your throne. But after you finish your business, the toilet paper's gone. Well, it's a great day for me to whoop somebody's ass. It's a bad day, so you better get off my back. You might get cold cock if you cross my path. Cause it's a great day for me to whoop somebody's ass. Well, I was running late for work, so I poured me some coffee to go. And just before I had a flat tire, I spilled it all over my clothes. When the highway patrolman pulled up, I thought the help was on the way. But when he saw the tattoo in my hand, he shot me with pepper spray. Oh, it's a great day for me to whoop somebody's ass. It's a bad, so you better get off my back. You might get cold cocked if you cross my path. Cause it's a great day, I'm saying it, they're gonna do it, for me to whoop somebody's ass. When I finally made it to work, I was 15 minutes late. I told my boss about the flat tire, but he fired me anyway. So here I am out in the parking lot, just waiting by his Corvette. I'm gonna give him a goodbye present that he never will forget. Let's play it again. Great day for me to whoop somebody's ass. It's a bad day, so you better get off my back. You might get cold cock if you cross my path. Cause it's a great day for me to whoop somebody's ass.
Okay. Let me do this real quick. Hello. Is this Danielle?
Yes.
Hi. We have Stacy and Nora on the line.
Hey.
Hi.
Stacy's in Massachusetts area, and Nora's in Chicago. And you are where?
I'm in service to Arizona for now.
Okay. And yes, you sent me a talking back and forth, and she sent me some pictures. She happens to be that model for hire. So maybe you want to tell everybody how that came about, and then we'll open it up for some questions.
Oh, the name or just my life?
Yeah. How you got into this?
I guess you could say through a divorce.
Wow.
I'm recently going through a divorce, and I decided to follow my childhood dream. So, you know, what's the worst thing that could happen, right? Somebody tells you you're ugly.
Wow.
Yeah, it's only been like, let's see, 5 months or so that I've been doing it.
Uh-huh.
And it's been going pretty good, I'll tell you what. Let's see, I have my first, really, my big paid shoot tomorrow, and I have another shoot on Saturday and then another one on Sunday. Lately, my weekends are just all booked up, and I need to take, like, a break from my own weekend.
Yeah, I know that feeling. Trust me.
I think anyone who works multiple jobs and has their own business and, you know, tries to maintain relationships and has children, and, yeah, it tends to make for a busy week.
Now, what do you do, like, those gothic-style pictures?
Yes and no. I'm trying not to get pigeonholed into just one look.
Okay.
I try to do goth style because I really do like that look, and I think that it's fun in underworld and vampires and zombies and whatnot.
Right.
But I also, I mean, it's really big now too, so trying to go that route as well. I have gotten a couple offers to do fetish style, but I don't really think so. I think that might bring down my whole look that I'm trying to go for. If I decided to go, you know, write for Vogue or, you know, Elle one day, they might be like, oh, you did that? You're not cool enough anymore.
Okay.
I really like it.
Yeah, she's on the, by the way, all those pictures were fixed. It was just a little glitch on the computer's part. But they're up now, and she happens to be the babe of the week if you guys want to go check out those pictures. I put the link up in the chat room for everybody.
Yeah, let me know your thoughts. I'm always open to new ideas and new shoots. The one I really want to, the one that I'm doing on Saturday is actually going to be with our 8-foot boa constrictor.
Oh, okay.
It's going to be really cool.
A lot of those. There's a lot of those pictures going around too. I get a few of those all the time.
Oh yeah, I love snakes. We recently had to get rid of two of our other snakes because of the fact that we're trying to downsize because we're moving. So I'm going to be really sad when Set, our snake, has to go.
Okay.
Go ahead. Oh, no, I was just saying, you go ahead.
Well, no, I get pictures marking all over, and a lot of times I get some from Finland, and it's a dominatrix house. They send pictures and videos.
That must be interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Do they send the safe word, too, along with their videos?
They send the what?
The safe word.
Yeah.
That was a joke, of course. But obviously they wouldn't send a safe word to you unless you were there. Then you wouldn't know the safe word.
Yeah, no, they. She's explained it to me, how things go, and she mentioned the safe word.
You know, the funny thing about being, when somebody says that they're a dominatrix, they actually hold no control of the situation. It's their client that does, and I find that incredibly interesting.
Yeah.
Because they're playing that controlling role, but obviously it's just been, you know, dictated to them what their client wants. So I think that's really interesting. I wouldn't mind doing that as long as if it was something, you know, fun, like I just need you to type a letter. I'd be like, all right, I can do that.
Yeah. No, and then let me go to this here, and I'll read a little bit of it. What you sent me. I can read everything on there, correct?
Yeah, everything on there.
Okay. This is Danielle, and she models and she works as an ISR test engineer for the Joint Interoperability Test Command at Fort Huachuca. And she served in the Air Force for 6.5 years as an intelligence analyst. Well, what do you think of NDAA being that you can now be held indefinitely when they don't have to tell anybody where you're at?
I don't mind it. Sometimes I really don't want anyone to tell me where, or tell anyone where I'm at, personally. It's mostly just for people's protection, for the most part. You know, I mean, that's basically all that it is. I mean, they don't want their secrets coming out or, you know, compromising a mission or anything like that.
Well, who's going to protect us from the protectors?
Good point. I don't have the answer to that one, unfortunately, because there's no good answer for that, unfortunately, with the politics as it is. I mean, it really should be the American people that stand up and make a difference because, you know, we do make the decisions, and I think a lot of people have lost sight in that they hold that power when it comes to voting. A lot of people are like, well, there's no good choices, so, you know, I'm not going to vote. Well, you know, make a difference. Say something about it. If enough people get on that road and enough people are making a difference, like I had a total breakdown about 3 months ago. My boyfriend will tell anybody that I'm the most emotional person. And I came home from work and I was just, you know, just upset at that no one is making a difference in the world and they're just accepting. If you're just accepting, you're not ever going to make change.
Right. Because my philosophy is if you don't vote, shut the fuck up.
Damn. Yeah, exactly. That's our policy in our house, too.
Mm-hmm. But,
whether it's dinner or, you know, voting for your politician, your local politician, if you don't like something, say so.
Yep. Exactly.
That's why you have a voice.
Exactly.
And
I mean,
the Constitution says, we the people, hello, that's us.
Yeah. But you recently read The Alchemist by Paulo Coelho?
Mm-hmm.
Coelho? Yeah, and you were inspired to follow your personal legend, modeling. So since you were a little girl, you've aspired to be a model, and so you're pursuing your dream. So pick it up from there.
Well, actually, I would have to say that The Alchemist, I would recommend that to anybody to read. Because, you know, we've all had these hopes and dreams or things that we wanted to do. And this book basically, it's timeless. It says, go after your dreams, because all that if you don't, you're going to be left with regret, and you should not have regret in this life. You only have one life, and it's a short life.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided to do it. My boyfriend was actually, I come from a very controlling, my last relationship was very controlling, very controlling. So I decided to say, you know what, I'm just going to throw it out there. I've always wanted to run my own business, first of all. I've always wanted to be a model. I always have been very creative when it comes to shoots, direction. I've always wanted to be like, you know, I thought I have a really good ear. I've always wanted to be a soundtrack writer for movies. Because I'm always like listening to music and be like, that'd be a really good, you know, I'm going to kick your ass scene song. Or that'd be a really good, you know, they're making out in the rain song. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I've always been mildly retarded like that. But so I decided that by doing this simple step, well, it seems actually really hard to get started in modeling. A lot of people are really intimidated because, yes, the competition is incredibly stiff. There's a lot of good-looking people. And really, I believe that there's beauty in everyone, and you just have your good angles. You know what I mean? And now that there's Photoshop in the world, I mean, shoot, anyone can be a model. I tell people that, you know, that ask me, well, why did you do it? I'm like, well, why don't you do it? And they're like, well, I would never do that. And I'm like, yeah, you could. There are models for every, how do you say it, every person, every type of, I mean, Lane Bryant is a plus-size avenue to go for. I mean, there's some beautiful women. There's no reason why we should be, you know, stuck to dress sizes and weight and the scale. Unfortunately, I'm stuck to the scale, but that's been, you know, a long time in the making. But
right.
Lots of people should do it. I think that anyone who has, I mean, it's great for your self-esteem. I mean, not to get big-headed or anything like that, but if you don't really have it, Everyone helped it.
There's a running joke around here that a lot of times I don't smile, and people have caught me smiling, and then posted pictures. So everyone says, "Well, why don't I smile more?" Because sometimes there's not a lot to smile about.
Agreed.
You know?
Agreed. Sometimes there's just a day where somebody's like, "Smile," like especially when strangers are like, "Oh, you'd look so much better if you smiled." They're like, "You know what? I'm not sure, but did you just have the day that I had? I didn't think so. So why don't you smile for me and leave me the hell alone?" You know what I mean? Everyone does look good when they smile. My ex-husband did not smile very often. I mean, in fact, all of the pictures of the children that we've had in the hospital, like that first, you know, meeting them for the first time, do you think the man smiled? No. I'm like, really? I mean, I'm tired too, but you know, you got to smile every once in a while because that's just amazing.
Yeah, they try and tell a joke or they try to tickle me while they got their arm around me, some shit like that. And,
they try to tickle you, really?
the last few events I've gone with some of my friends, they've done that, and everybody's like, "Hey, you smile in that picture." Well, you didn't look at the rest of the pictures. Stacy, Nora. But she's going to be, and Danielle's going to be published in the November issue of the Tucson Lifestyle Magazine.
Nice.
And if you can get me a link for that and send it to me, I'll post it up there for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Once I get the link myself,
okay,
you'll have it.
All right, perfect. And then she's done some runway modeling for Razor's Edge, the Maya's Place, and the Coil. And she's worked in and with multiple mediums in order to achieve the customer's desired look. That's cool.
Yeah.
So you're passionate, professional, and a pleasure to work with.
Absolutely. That's what it sounds like.
Well, that's what I've been told.
Yeah. Oh, no.
The passionate part is true. I mean, and I come from... The Air Force has instilled, you know, that professionalism, and then, you know, the fact that my quote unquote daytime job, I mean, I have to deal with a lot of quote unquote professionals. So when I go to a shoot or when somebody says, "Okay, we're booked for this day," you know, I try not to be late. I really do, but sometimes, you know, you got to redo your makeup or you got to do a touch up or whatever, and you're like, "Hey, I'm coming. I'm not late. I'm coming."
Yeah.
But for the most part, it's all about respect.
Yeah, I dealt with some guys today that they were so uptight. If I shoved a pee up their ass, I'd get a diamond in a couple of days. They just don't understand. Like, I work on all the Navy ships, so they just don't understand when you tell them it's not ready yet.
No. I can't wait till the day that I'm not working for DOD. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's a good job, and I'm thankful for it, because if I didn't have it, boy, I would be, I wouldn't be able to shop like I do, let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Or maintain the lifestyle that I like to live. But ultimately, I would really, really, really like to be a professional model. I mean, my goal is actually to be published in a nationwide, maybe even international magazine. I think that would be really, you know, the cat's meow. So I'm trying towards that before I get, you know, my goal is to have that done before I'm 40. So I have a good, you know, a good couple of years before that happens.
Excuse me. But there's, she also, well, she's open-minded and she loves to collaborate in order to achieve the desired goal. So that means whatever they would like you to pose or however, you'll do it.
Basically, they say, you know, when I come in, I say, "Hey, you know, I Google the internet, I write to try to find pictures of what I'm visualizing, so that when I show up with the photographer, I said, "Hey, you know, maybe for a couple shoots we could go this route," or "I was thinking about this for this outfit," or, you know, like the one I really want to do is like a 1920s flapper before the flapper pinup, before the rockabilly pinup came around, you know what I mean, like that. Where it was the vintage style lingerie that wasn't very revealing, but it was still very sexy,
yeah,
and classic.
Yep.
I mean, everyone's on that rockabilly pinup kick, and that's great because, I mean, I love it. I love, one of my favorite things is when they used to put the girls on the airplanes, you know? That was really neat. And but right now I think it's a little bit, it's saturated the market, and I'm trying, like that came up with the Dead Model for Hire, to separate myself from other women. I mean, that's my alias. And then, you know, the other day I met somebody on, well, not so much, I didn't meet them on Facebook. It's actually like, what is it, a fetish cabaret. They're actually on my Facebook page. I'm a friend of theirs. And they're like, hey, you know, I was talking to them, and they're like, you have a really great personality, and we think we could use you. And then they're like, what's your stage name? I was like, I'm sorry, a stage name? I know. So
yeah.
I came up with a stage name, and it's actually pretty cool. I was pretty excited
about
it. It's Roxy Von Bondage.
Roxy Von Bondage?
Yeah.
That's got a ring to it.
Yeah, well, I was trying to, I was telling my boyfriend how I came up with that, and he's like, how in the world did you come up with that? I was like, well, I was trying to play that stripper name game, like, you know, like when you're like a kid and people are like, well, you take like the first name, the street you lived on, and then like your dog's name, and then, you know, whatever the hell else. And so I was like, well, you know, Roxy was my first dog, and I lived off of Hopi Way, and I was like, well, that doesn't make a very good song, a very good name at all. You know, but then I do like Betty Page, and, you know. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go with that route. So I don't know. Maybe I'll be like their stand-up comedian or their cocktail waitress or something. I have no idea. Because they were looking for like, I only responded because they said tattooed models. And I was like, oh, I'm a tattooed model. I can do that. So, and then they also wanted like gender bender whatnots. And some stuff I don't even know. I was like, what the heck does that even mean? I haven't even gotten to Google yet. I can't wait. Maybe I'll do that tonight and figure out what it is. It's like a endo status or something. It's something weird, and we both were like, what is that? I had no idea.
Yeah, well, be careful what you wish for.
Well, I mean, I don't want to, I mean, I just want to see what it is so I can form in case somebody says, hey, do you want to do this? I'll be like, no. Because I used to always say, why say no when you can always say yes? And that's bitten me in the ass a couple times, so I'm not going to do that anymore. Just like trimming my own hair. I did that last night. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I was at the salon today trying to unfuck that problem. So they had to cut off like 2 inches of my hair, and I was like, oh, excellent. I didn't need that.
Wow.
Yeah, my
life
is, it's fun, but not.
Yeah. No, I'm on the other side of the coin because I have a bunch of people that, depending on where I go or what event it is, a bunch of people that are being haters going, well, why does he get to go? Well, they could go too if they ask me, but they don't ask.
Well, right?
They just hate.
I don't like haters. A lot of people get mad at me or, you know, it's all about getting out there. Like, well, I recently just finished the How to Make Love Like a Porn Star or How to Have Sex Like a Porn Star or something like that by Jenna Jameson. And that was another reason why I decided to get into this business of sorts, because she kind of, I mean, she didn't really follow her dream because that was not her dream at all, but her thing was she wanted to be the best at whatever she was doing. She wanted to be the best at it. And I was like, you know what? That sounds pretty kick-ass. I think I want to try to be the best at it. So, I mean, I've been trying, you know, sending, you know, my information out, like, everywhere, responding to Craigslist ads, which, you know, that's scary. Don't do that. And then, you know, all over Facebook. And, like, this morning I actually had a message in my inbox from this dude that I don't even know, but, you know, he was on my friends list, and I was just asking him to like my page on Facebook. You know, no big deal. And he comes back, and he's like, well, I don't know why you're sending me all this shit. I have a wife. I'm like, it wasn't a marriage proposal, dude. You know what I mean? Relax. I'm not trying to steal you away from your wonderful model wife. I mean, good luck with that.
Yeah.
Whatever. None of my business. Just like my friggin' page. You click this little thing, you say, and it says like. So I got to do
that.
When I worked for Harley Davidson, one of the, like, I was a promo girl for all of, like, 1-2 months or whatever, but then my modeling thing started taking up my weekends, and I said, I can't do it anymore. But my job was to get these people to fill out raffles. You know how hard that is? They're like, well, we don't want any Harley Davidson spam. And I was like, well, you know, and then I got in trouble. Some dude kind of, like, laid into me for this, but Well, and that, and, you know, I told somebody else, like, a bitch or whatever. And that, because I was just playing, but either way, they're like, ah. It turns out this dude was, like, a total dumb, and I didn't realize it. I was like, oh, sorry, you know. Didn't mean to, you know, tread on, you know, your controlling awesomeness, but good luck with that. Either way, I said,
yeah.
He said, well, I don't want Harley Davidson spam. And I said, okay, well, just hear me out. There's this little thing on Google, and I'm pretty sure Yahoo and MSN and whatever the else, you know, fucking email you have, you go up and you click this, you click it, and then you hit this thing called spam, and it, you never hear it again. I said, it's this wonderful thing. So all you got to do is to help me out, and you win a fucking prize tonight. You click, you just put it, you just sign up, and then when the Harley Davidson thing comes in, you click spam. You're all done.
Yeah.
I mean, how hard is that? I mean, honestly, like, people just, I get tired of haters. I get tired of no one wanting to help out the underdog anymore. Like, no one wants to take a chance on the underdog. If you don't have, you know, thousands of dollars to drop, then, you know, no one wants to take a chance on you, or no one wants to help you out, or no one wants to, you know, especially lawyers. You know, I was actually trying to get a lawyer, and I didn't have, you know, I don't have thousands of dollars to drop on a case, right? And I was like, I was trying to look at pro bono, you know, and then there was this other thing that some lawyers follow, and it's, they do it like an hourly, a reduced hourly rate. And I was like Googling all these like lawyers, and none of them did it. And I was like, well, that's weird. Okay, you're listed as you do. Either way, I get so sick of what
they call that bait and switch.
Bait and switch.
Because they want to get you on and listen to what you're saying, and then tell you what it's. After.
Well, yeah, exactly. I had an appointment with a lawyer on Monday. But I figured, I was like, well, first of all, you know, no one's going to let my, like, there's just no way I would be able to take my kids out of the country. So, you know, in a divorce, it's just not going to happen. So I decided, I was like, okay, well, I guess I'll just save that money until, you know, it's time to reevaluate custody and whatnot. But either way, you know, they don't tell you any advice. You have to retain them in order to say, hey, do I have a case here? And they're like, well, you gotta retain me. I'm like, I'm going to pay you $6,000 just so you can tell me that I don't have a case. You must be out of your goddamn mind.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I slaved over that money. What did you do? You have two Bentleys. You have a his and her Bentley? I don't think so. You know what I mean? It's just ridiculous what America has come to. That's why I'm really, you know, when we've been trying to move out of the country, and I'm so glad that it's happening, just to live in a different lifestyle. Because Americans, we really need to take back what we stand for. And I'm tired of people just, you know, being too, oh, in the whole, how you say, they get offended so easily. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They don't like
that.
I'm like, you know what, if we're going to tell it as you know, we're going to just say how it is. Let's just say how it is. Let's call a spade a spade. You know, if I say you're fucked up, you're fucked up.
Well,
you can say
right now.
You can say too.
Well, right now, this is one of the last bastions of freedom. We have them trying to get in here all the time. And a couple of weeks ago, they shut us down 64 minutes into the show for the rest of the night.
That's ridiculous. That is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And you know, they do that a lot. My boyfriend and I were just talking about the whole employers trying to get on your Facebook page. That's an invasion of privacy. That is your Facebook page. You. That is your self-expression. I mean, hello. If I want to say, you know, I recently on my own personal page, not the Dead Model for Hire page, but on my personal page, I said, you know, women don't fart, they whisper in their panties. You know what I mean? I'm like, why would my employer need to know that? Why would they need to know if I was at a party and I had a beer in my hand? That's none of their business.
Yeah.
None of their business.
Well,
go ahead.
I went to, I just updated my Rapid Gate pass, and I got a top secret clearance and stuff, and so I had to go see the guys at NCIS, and this was in January. In October of last year, I was at a birthday party in Arizona, and when I came in to go see these guys, the guy he opened up this vanilla folder, and he started pointing out these pictures, and he said, what can you tell me about those? And I said, they're better than the ones I got. Can I get a copy of these when I leave? Because I was at Sonny Barger's birthday party.
I mean, honestly, unless you have, like, any crazy contacts with them or anything like that, you know what I mean? Anyone who has ever had one of those would know that that's really, unless there's a lot of shady business, they really have no business, you know,
Well,
you
I think
at a
it
party.
Had, I think it had something to do with all the clubs being put on the watch list.
Yeah, well, that and I mean, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, I was looking at that on your the blogs. You know, I mean, I really enjoyed the history. It's funny, the other day, I like to ask people when I see webs, like, you know, where they were sanctioned. You know, I was like, oh, is it sanctioned? How did you get that? And people would give me, like, the weirdest looks. But I think there's a lot of misconstrued perception.
Well, that's going on in Reno right now because they have a no-colors policy. But what about all the cops that ride motorcycles? They're wearing colors.
Agreed. It's just a club. And now, I mean, my whole thing is, you know, once you enter into that illegal territory, then, you know, then you just might be a little shady. But if you're just, I mean, you know, they, what is it, the VA? They have the Veterans Riders, right?
Yeah.
I don't remember what it's called, but I know the VA has something like that. And, is it the VFW Riders, something like that, correct?
Right.
And,
well,
I mean,
the Vietnam Vets, VFW Riders, the American Legion Riders.
Right.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of them, and they're debating whether they're going to put them on the same list.
What?
Because of their associations. Some are backed by the heavy hitter clubs, and some aren't.
That's ridiculous. It shouldn't matter. I mean, unless you have some dirt on the club itself, then you have nothing.
Well, I get accused here because right now, we're on in the United States, Canada, Australia, the Ukraine, the United Kingdom, Germany, Libya, Colombia, Sweden, Austria, the Ukraine, Italy, France, Indonesia, Russia, Germany. We're on all over the world right now. And the United Arab Emirates, Sweden, the Netherlands.
So, what, I mean,
Bill, Denmark, France, we're all over the world. But they accuse us.
Go ahead.
Yeah, they accuse me of posting subliminal messages to send to all the clubs.
What?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I swear.
We got a guy calling from Canada. Let's see what's going on.
That's ridiculous.
Hello, Real.
How you doing, my brother? How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Nora with us tonight?
The ladies are here. We have Nora, Stacy, and Danielle is promoting her business called Dead Model for Hire.
Yeah, I was listening to that. Hello, Danielle. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Fantastic. I wish you good luck on your endeavors and hope everything works your way.
Me too. That'd be great.
Yeah. And as you guys were mentioning, you know, you got your patches, you got your cops with their patches, and, you know, one's on one side of the fence, the other one's on the other side of the fence, and like Bill mentioned, the RCMP here in Canada are nuts. They're a vicious bunch of fuckers, and they're worse than any fucking club I've ever met in my life, and I will say it out loud. You give me a fucking phone, and I'll stand on top of a mountain here in my backyard, and I'll fucking scream it out, because it's a fact. We had, I mentioned that to you before on one of the shows, we had an RCMP got caught with the cyber police, so, you know, the ones that look for sex offenders and stuff, that try to pick up young girls on the internet. Well, one cop did this to this 13-year-old girl. He was hunting her down for 6 months, and he baited her. She met him, and they jumped on him. The cops jumped on him, and that's the only time I ever really seen them do their job properly to attack one of their own. They didn't turn a blind eye to this guy because he's done this before on quite a few occasions, I guess. But, you guys, as Americans, I love yous. You guys are losing so much. Your rights are going right out the door. Don't tell me there's no communism around here. There's communism in Canada. You can't speak. They tell you when to shit. They tell you what to do. You got to wear a helmet. You got to wear a seatbelt. You know, this, that, and the other thing. Shut your show down, like you mentioned. What in the hell, my brother? What yeah. in the hell can we actually do, even as your neighbor? What can I fucking do to help you guys, man? This is taking a toll on everybody. It's causing depression on everybody, pressure. People are losing their homes. They can't think properly anymore. You know, it's like being brainwashed, and it's a form of brainwashing. They're pushing you to see how far they can take you.
Yeah.
And it fucking hurts me to see this. You guys, like I said, Phil, I've never met you face to face, but I respect you. I always will, and I respect everybody on your show, and of course that goes for Bill and Nora and everybody else. But man, it hurts me to watch this because it's actually bleeding over the border.
And well, it hurts you, but I'm living it.
Exactly. I mean, we're living it in different ways. They don't tell you when to speak or how to speak. As long as it's not a violent protest, you can protest in front of the Ottawa building all you goddamn want and yell at the Prime Minister. You know, as long as it's not violent. Then they'll use the water cannons on you and whatever else have you. But you guys can't speak at all anymore. It's bullshit.
No, and even, you know, just as you said that, I played this song the other day, and it went silent for the whole song, and then the sound came back. But let's see what happens now. This one's called One Percenter. It's by Mike P. Let me do this, and I'll be right back. And then what we'll do is, we'll follow up with Danielle, and then we'll switch over to this other conversation because I want to give her the time and finish what she was talking about, okay?
All right, brother.
All right, I'll be right back.
It's that Harley boy, Mike P. And they say I represent the 1% of the bad biker community. But I just represent freedom.
Jump on your bike and let's roll. Fuck the 5-0, we out of control. Jump on your bike and let's roll. Fuck the 5-0, we out of control. I ain't a biker, homie, I'm a gangster on a bike. Yeah. The cops don't like me cause I do what I like. Uh-huh. It's American dream for us to live free. But when the feds think of me, they think of penitentiary. Don't blame me, pig, you made me this way. I'm a pit in a cage filled up with rage. Take off that vest, I'll kick your ass all day. Come on. Man, fuck you and the fucking DA. 99% of these bikers are good. I guess I represent that 1% but nothing but hood. So if you see that one with the diamond crown, you better make room, I'll lay you down. I'm on the freeway, flying with my middle finger up like, fuck the world, I don't give a fuck. They say I represent the bad community, but what I represent ain't nothing but unity. So 99% of these bikers are good. I guess I represent the 1% that nothing but hood. They say I represent the bad community, but what I represent ain't nothing but unity. So 99% of these bikers are good. I guess I represent the 1% that nothing but hood. Jump on your bike and let's roll. Fuck the 5-0, we out of control. Jump on your bike and let's roll. Fuck the 5-0, we out of control. I never ride my bike without my vest. That's the best homeboy that protects my chest. Cause the vest that shows what club you rep. Don't ask me what it says, motherfucker, can you read? I ain't never gonna hide it, who the fuck I be. You gotta be damned to earn your shit. The prospect with the lower rock will bust your lip. Disrespect the made man and the dogs won't get you. Full pass prospect, do you get the picture? Baby girl wanna ride, but you think I'm a threat. Cause I got tattoos on my arm and neck. Just fight the chin check just to earn respect. I'm that 1% that don't give a shit. Say I represent the bad community, but what I represent ain't nothing but unity. So 99% of these bikers are good. I guess I represent the 1% that nothing but hood. They say I represent the bad community, but what I represent ain't nothing but unity.
we made it. They haven't cut us off.
Right on.
But, yeah, that was Mike P, the big homie. He's out of San Francisco Valley.
What, they cut you off last time you played it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's that's right. That's real nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can buy the CD, but you can't play it on a radio station.
You got that right.
Hey, who gets the royalties for that, brother?
Yeah.
There's a question right in the pockets of the goddamn politicians.
So Danielle,
go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Why can't you play that on the radio? I mean, you have other people playing, you know, shit like talking about, you know, fucking up cops and shit like that. I was just curious why you can't play that.
I know.
It just doesn't make. I mean, people downgrading or, you know, talking shit about women and treating them like objectifying them, and you know, of course, women let them do that too. But
I think they just look at it as guilty by association in any way, shape, or form. It doesn't matter if they have anything on Phil or anybody else. You know, Phil could be the nicest guy on the planet. If they just don't like you, they don't like you. That's it. That's where it is today.
That's exactly how it is.
This is where we're going. Listen to this. Hot shots, got a couple of hits there, but I missed on a few of them. But it's getting crazier by the day, and I'm not the only one. There's four of us that do this, four main guys, and the other guys get the same shit.
Yeah, it's like one of those spring-loaded fucking candy boxes, you know, you open them up, that goddamn snake jumps out at you. You just don't know when that fucking top is going to come off. It's ready to blow, man. Holy shit.
Yeah. So,
who's going to get hit first? That is the big question.
Yeah. Well, Danielle, so your shoot, how do you come up with the ideas for the shoots? Or are you going off what people send you? Or is it just something?
I mean, I go off. If they wanted to send me something like, hey, this would be really cool, or I have this idea, I'll totally be like, yeah, that's totally awesome. We should totally do that. And I say, hey, you know, want to do this as well?
Mm-hmm.
I've been trying to hook up with this one photographer, and our schedules just don't seem to be aligning lately. But he wanted to do, like, an Indian shoot. And I was like, that's really cool. But I think that we should totally do that. And then I think we should take it a step further and just do something else completely wild, like, you know, like back in the day, like a zombie apocalypse, like, you know, a historical zombie apocalypse, you know, like Custer and the Indians, but they're eating each other. I don't know. A lot of the things I think about are just kind of weird. I don't know. Most of the things I think about when I think about shooting it depends on the photographer. It depends. I try to do my research on the looks that they normally do. That way, when I go in there, I can see what they're really the best at, and I can say I want to do this because I know that they're the best at doing that look, and I know I will get a quality product from them.
Mm-hmm.
All the people I've worked with have given me quality products. Some people, I mean, and the funny thing is whenever they post it in my Facebook, some hater has something negative to say about some photographer. I swear this business is just so. It just fills with haters. I'm like, I know we all can't get along. I'm not, you know, I'm not about, like, the whole coexist thing on the bumper sticker or anything like that because it's impossible. But,
right.
And
well, you know,
if
I, there's 2.3 million registered motorcycles in California. If I could get 50,000 guys just to say for one day, fuck it, I'm not wearing a helmet, I'd shut down the court system. But try and get 50,000 opinions to one thing and it ain't going to work.
Mm-mm. Well, my whole thing is, like, if you have nothing to say,
you have nothing to say to me about other photographers unless you decide to, A, shoot with me on the spot, or say, hey, you know what, I'm going to drop everything on my schedule, and we're going to shoot right now. And I'll be like, right. Okay, you know, then you might have something to say. But if you have nothing, if we have nothing, we have not shot at all, you have nothing to say, you know, well, that photographer is, you know, bullshit, and they're posting that on, you know, your Facebook page. You know, like, somebody had the audacity to tell me that modeling was all about image. And I really, it took everything I had not to write back and say, really? I did not know that. Modeling? About image? Oh, I thought it was just about, you know, making friends and whatnot.
Yeah.
I don't know. I go through the same thing
the last few years, because I go to different runs and I have respect wherever I go. And if somebody says, well, hey, how come you just wear that T-shirt, or you just wear that T-shirt, why won't you wear our T-shirt? Because it was given to me.
Danielle?
Mm-hmm.
May I ask, what kind of modeling do you do? I missed that part. I missed the beginning of the show. Are you like a model bikinis and stuff like that, nudies, a little bit of everything, or?
A little bit of everything. I would love to do bathing suits. I really would, but I don't have that much confidence. I've had 2 children, and they were big babies, and I am not a big person. So, and when I dropped a lot of weight after having them, you know, I mean, I have, you know, the loose skin, so I'm always like, hey, you know, it's like one of those, it's the part of my body that I dwell the most on, I guess you could say, is my lower abdomen. So I'm always like, hey, you know, Photoshop that liberally. Be liberal with that.
Mm-hmm.
I do a lot of different styles. For the most part, you probably won't see any of the things that I do nude, just because of the fact that I don't want them floating around out there.
Yeah.
I make a lot of photographers sign my own model release as well. That way, you know, because, you know, funny thing, most model release paperwork protects the photographer.
Yeah, not you.
Yeah, exactly. Not the model. So we came up with a model release form to not only protect me, but because they could, you know, go ahead and sell my images. Well, if you're going to sell my images, I want at least 50%.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Well, what's your website, love?
I actually don't have one yet. I'm actually saving up money so I can buy my own domain.
so you're just basically doing this through Facebook.
Basically, I mean, that right now, and I have my photo bucket, and, you know, I'm trying to, and I have a DeviantArt one, but until I can have my own domain and buy my name, I can't, you know, I don't really have a website yet.
Oh, I see. Because I was just curious, if you did have a website, I would have asked you to maybe take me in as a friend or something, just to check out your work, you see?
My Facebook page, my Facebook page is public.
Okay.
For the Den Model for Hire is public. Every time I Google it, because I'm always signed into Google for my Gmail, it always pops up that I can access it. So I really have no idea if somebody was to just randomly Google me and then hit on my Facebook page if it would come up. Because then it says, you know, on my Facebook page it says Den Model for Hire is owned and operated by Danielle Moore. So on Facebook you can always just, you know, Google Danielle Moore and pop up, and, you know, I'll more than likely friend you until you, you know, write something dumb on my page or, you know, are.
Well, no, you won't get that from me. So that's Moore, M-O-O-R-E.
Yes.
Danielle, I-E-L or A-L?
D-A-N-I-E-L-L-E.
L-L-E.
Well,
okay.
You got 2,233 hits since Sunday night.
Wow. Oh, you're doing something right, love.
Well, you know, it's funny thing, I don't want to sound vain, but it's always one of those things, you know, as a kid growing up with the internet, you know, if you Google your name and nothing comes up, it's always like you're sad inside. You're like, oh.
Yeah,
you don't exist, right?
You get that feeling you don't exist.
Random things. You see like people's like mugshots and shit, and you're like, really? Their name is Danielle Moore? How is that possible? That's my name. And then I'm always like, when I Google Danielle Moore, I'm always like, I'm not even like on there anymore. I'm like on page like 25,000. I don't even know. But when you Google Dead Model for Hire, I'm pretty sure the first four or five pictures that you get are me.
And well,
like,
I'll tell you
awesome.
Something. I Googled myself one day just for the fun of it, and this guy has my name right down to a T, same birthday, killed his wife and two of his children in Quebec. My jaw dropped. The people that were sitting with me, they looked at me and went, "You gotta be kidding. That can't be you." I went, "No. I left Quebec. I was 3 years old. Of course, it ain't me, man." But it gave me shivers up my spine. I couldn't believe it. Same
wow.
name, same birthday, everything. Yep, killed his wife and two children.
Wow.
Yeah, that gives you a shiver up the spine. I
did
went, wow.
Killed, did you say he killed them?
He killed his two girls and his wife, yep.
Yeah. You know, I've part of my degree is in a forensic psychology. I have a huge thing for serial killers and the anatomy of motives and why people do what they do.
Yeah.
And that never ceases to amaze me. And I know, you know, I've been married before twice. I know how frustrating it is to be married. And then when you combine toddlers and children into that scenario, but I've never understood even remotely how a parent can do that.
Well,
I mean,
you know, I'm live on the radio, and, you know, this is a healing process for me, but I attacked my father. I was 9 years old. He was leaning over my older sister, Sylvia, and he was drunk. He broke my jaw, my left arm, and busted my knee, and he raped both my sisters, and he was an ex-cop. And he worked for Interpol. I was born in Paris, France. He was in Interpol in Rome when I was born. And then we moved to Quebec, and then we moved to Windsor, Ontario. And then that's when he did that. But it makes you think, who else did he do it to? How many innocent children did he fell into my father's hands? My father. I hate that
yeah.
terminology. I raised two children by myself, a boy and a girl. I got a tattoo on my chest I wear proudly. It says, "Protector of Children." You fuck with the child in front of me, I will take you out.
Yeah, I know, right? When I was looking for a job, actually, a few years back, because I was unemployed when I got out of the Air Force, I was actually applying to be one of those, to catch a predator people. You know,
yeah.
the on the internet that go into, not so much solicit, they don't solicit, but they just go into the chat rooms.
Yeah,
as,
they're
you
cyber
know, potential
cops.
Victims.
Yeah, cyber cops, yeah.
Right. Of course, you know, they're like, "Well, you don't know what you're doing." I'm like, "Are you kidding me? I can chat." I mean, my whole, you know, past 3 years was me chatting with people that were, you know, potentially creepy.
Yeah.
I mean, you should see some of the things people write you. I mean,
yeah.
just the other day, some dude friended me on LinkedIn, right? And he's like, "Hey, you look familiar. Were you, you know, at Fort Hood? Were you here? Were you here?" And I was like, "No, I was at none of those places." I was like, "But were if you were at CENTCOM, you know, I was here for 4 years between these years." And he's like, "No, I was only there for a week." And I was like, "Well, then I highly doubt that we know each other."
Yeah.
But then, you know, I'm a friendly person by nature, and I will always give somebody a chance. You know, I won't say, "Well, since we don't know each other, bugger off." You know,
but
and
I mean, for everybody on the panel, try to picture my childhood being, you know, I don't want to throw religion involved, but my mom was a Catholic, a devout Catholic. She'd go to church twice a day, and we didn't speak English at the time. I did not know a word of English. So I'm getting beat up at school. This, that, and the other thing. This is happening underneath a roof. The attorneys, mom went to two attorneys. And her not speaking English, not working, five children. The attorneys told her, "If your husband gets charged for this, your children are going to be put in homes, in separate homes. That'll be it. Your family is going to be scattered all over the place. You'll never be able to know where they're at," because that's the way it was. There was no welfare at the time. You know, you couldn't go to a police station and file for welfare. That didn't exist in Ontario. So my mom had to make this decision of stay with this guy and help me raise my children and protect my kids the best I can. If hopefully he's not going to kill one like he almost did me. And it was, hush, hush, do not speak about this. Don't tell your friends. If everybody knows, it'll ruin the family. Well, man, as a little kid, that is a big bite. And they wondered why I grew up as mean and as tough as I am today, and why I don't trust anybody, especially fucking cops. Having one in my own fucking home doing this to my sisters? I don't trust nobody. You got to prove yourself to me first. I don't got to prove fuck all to you. I love people. Don't get me wrong. I love people. I don't hate people because of what my father did. But it did affect me to the point of do not trust. It's too hard to trust. And then I end up judging people before I really get to know them, which is no good. I stopped that a long time ago. I don't judge people no more.
Let me bring in two callers. Somebody might want to comment on that. Hold on.
Okay.
Hello, friend.
Well, good evening, everybody.
Let me bring Eunice in. Hold on a second. Hello, Eunice.
Hey, Phil. How you doing?
Good.
We have
Nora on the line. We have Stacy on the line. We have Danielle on the line. Ruthie on the line. Fran on the line. We have Riel and yourself.
And I would like to talk to him.
Yes, ma'am.
My name is Eunice.
Hello, Eunice. How are you, love?
I'm good, and they call me the mother of survivors.
Good for you. You must have earned that right.
Well, I'm in Massachusetts, and I was listening to your story, and you're right. It was a big, dirty, rotten secret years ago. I don't know how old you are.
51.
Okay. And let me tell you, I was a Catholic, and a Catholic priest molested my son 32 years ago. And I have been fighting this for 32 years.
It's fucking hard, isn't it, love?
I believed my son. I crossed all my T's and dotted all my I's and got off at the bus at the police station. And I remember the detective saying to me 32 years ago, Eunice, I can't arrest this priest. My goddamn captain will have my fucking balls.
Exactly.
Right.
Dirty red fucking tape.
Let her finish. I have farmed a bill with several hundreds of other people, met many survivors of sexual abuse, being a survivor myself from 5 years old, and I'm 71, so you know how many years ago that was.
Yeah.
And we're winning it. Took us 10 years to get it out of the Judiciary Committee. It's been a long fight. And Stacy, we are winning it. And it's about protecting our children.
Exactly.
Sometimes it takes a long time to do it. And I've stated it before, and Phil knows this, just in Massachusetts alone, by fathers, by stepfathers, by doctors, by lawyers, by teachers, by coaches, by priests, by any walk of denomination, 350 children a day in Massachusetts is being sexually abused. So sometimes I have to cross my T's and dot my I's and be a lady, and sometimes I'm not. And,
it's got to come out. That's the only way you heal. You got to vent. You got to talk to some people. You got to talk to good people like yourself.
Well, let me tell you something, honey. It's working.
Good for you.
Now people are listening.
Good.
They're listening big time.
Yeah. Because there was a thing on TV this morning about the Boy Scouts.
Hey, it's everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
Yeah. You know, I would really like to get your phone number or your Facebook or something and talk to you further about this. Because, you know, we didn't have the money. I never seen a psychologist or anything over that. Maybe, you know, if Mom and Dad had money, I'm sure Dad wouldn't have forked it out, that's for sure. But I never had that opportunity to talk to people. All I talked to was my brothers, and they were all older than me. And I'm not talking blood brothers. I'm talking bikers. I was a, you know, 11-year-old kid hanging around with clubbers, and those guys helped me out so much. You know, they opened their heart to me and their homes, and wherever I went, if I didn't feel safe, if something told me, because my heart never failed me, if my heart said, don't go home tonight, I wouldn't. I had beds everywhere as a child. I could. That's why I'm writing my book, A Street Commando, the Life of a Child, and that's what it's called. And there's going to be some nasty things in there, and I ain't scared to open up.
Just remember one thing when you write a book.
Yes, ma'am.
As long as it is public officials, you can always name them outright.
Yes.
But if you're going to name other people that aren't public officials, that you have to get their permission to put their name in.
Yeah, I was told that before.
This,
yes, ma'am.
Yeah, you have to learn how to dot the I's and cross the T's.
Exactly.
You know?
No, I want to do this the right way and make sure there's no lawsuits coming my ass, you know what I mean? Because,
right.
Defamation of character is not a good thing. Canada hits you pretty hard with those charges, and, they're not very good. You
right.
dirty somebody's name, they'll take you down.
Frank, what did you have to say on that?
I just took you off of mute. I was eating my dinner. You know what I find interesting? The three of us. There's 10 years. He's 51, I'm 51, 71.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you, friend. What did you say?
Okay, he is 51, I'm 61, and you're 71.
Right.
And there's 10 years apart. And what's interesting in those 10 years is very little actually changed. If we had someone that was 41, it still would not have changed much.
Yeah.
Well, we got someone that's 43. You could ask her.
It's only been within the last 10 years, maybe 15 years, where things have changed.
Right.
What I didn't like was I looked at it this way. I was a victim three times over. Because when it was known the family member had done this, I was no longer allowed at the house because he was there, and I was no longer able to visit my relative that I loved, that essentially raised me. So it was being punished more than once. And I looked at it that he got away with just essentially nothing. And also, if you really look at the way our law is set up, a rape victim is the only one that actually has to go into court and tell everything and within details of everything that happened. And quiet.
Yeah, they have to relive it.
They have to relive it.
I was actually read my rights.
Let me tell you something, friend.
Wait. What did you say, Danielle?
I said I was actually read my rights. Because in the military, nothing, I mean, they just, you know, make it a glossy cover and, you know, call it a different name, but nothing has really changed when it comes to either sexual assault or rape victims in the military.
No,
so
it hasn't changed.
That's why people have to stand so strong. Phil will tell you, people do not like to hear about this pedophilia, even to this day.
No.
You know that, Phil. And,
right.
You know something.
I think that was one of the reasons we went off the air at 64 minutes into the show one night.
Right. And I'll tell you something. It's all about the insurance companies. The insurance companies run this United States. And this was one of the biggest things that we had to fight. And I've gone up against, and I'm not patting myself on the shoulder. I get totally pissed you know, and I'm not afraid to speak up. I don't care. It could be the Pope. I don't care who it is. But I'm telling you something right now. If people don't start taking the United States back the way we should, you know, our government turned this country over to insurance companies. Do you realize that? It's amazing. We have lobbyists. I'll tell you what happened to me the 31st of July. This bill was put into a conference committee to save it because the insurance companies wanted it one way, and naturally we wanted it the other way. And I remember going to the bathroom that night, Phil, and one of the lobbyists said, I don't know who the F she knows, but she got this bill pulled and put into a conference committee. Well, being 71 years old, I had to go to the bathroom real quick, so I couldn't respond. But on the way back, I did.
Yeah.
I tapped this gentleman on the shoulder, and I very nonchalantly said to him, you know, I couldn't respond to it because I'm old, as you can see, but you really want to know who got this bill pulled? I says, fucking God. And guess what? You're not being paid this week. You know? I mean, it just seems to amaze me that they think a little old lady had that much power to do it. But it wasn't just a little old lady. It was people that really cared, really wants to protect our children. And to take those effing pedophiles, put them on an island, and blow it up. But you want to know something? 2 years down the road, there'd be more to take their place.
Because not even
they
2 years?
They actually blame young children, young boys. Well, he come on to me. You know, and you take, like, your father, I would have cut his balls off.
You know what they should do? That's one thing. You know, I was an altar boy. I was never touched by no priest or anything. But I know the Bible pretty good. And if they brought back the old thing of stoning people to death in front of a live audience, you don't put these fuckers in prison so taxpayers can pay, so they can stay in there on death row for 20 years. Hell with that. Tie them to a post, sell rocks for $2 a piece, and start throwing the bastards. You watch what happens. You don't think those bastards are going to go hiding? It's going to come down. The numbers have to come down because the public is watching it. The public is killing them outright.
Okay,
in the middle of
town
square. That's what you do with shit like that. You don't cut their balls off because their brain still thinks. You denut a dog. What does he do? He humps anyways. His brain is going to want to play. His dick ain't there no more, but his brain is still active. So what is he going to do? Oh, I don't have a dick, so what? I'm going to use a broomstick? No, kill him, period. If you've got the proof, the DNA that they have today, all the blood work, the hair samples, everything else, kill him, period.
You know something? They don't live in jail anymore.
They shouldn't live 5 minutes after they're caught. As soon as they have the proof, they should be taken down like an animal, because that's what they are.
But then we're no better off than they are.
Yeah, but we No. Clean up this planet one way or another. People say we've got to get the United States back to where it was. Well, that's one way to do it. Start killing off people that are doing shit like that to children. Save the children, they always say. Children come first. Yeah? Prove it then. Kill these bastards.
Yes, and you have to do it. Don't think I haven't been there.
Oh, I know you have.
I mean, two years after that happened, my oldest boy was murdered. And we walked in the day of his funeral. And when the priest ever turned around and it was the one that had molested my son, I went spastic.
Jesus Christ.
I've been up that hill, and I've been down that hill. And I do more damage by doing what I'm doing now.
Honestly, did you ever think of pulling the trigger?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Well, I'd be the first one to admit it.
And if you did, would you feel bad about it?
No.
You know what I would have felt bad about? My other children would have suffered for the what I had done.
Hired gun. You don't have to do it yourself.
Well,
there's
anyway,
let her, a cat.
Let her finish because there's a bunch of people here that might want to comment on this. So,
all right, I apologize, Phil.
You know, it you have to do it in order for it to protect every child in this country. You have to do it the right way so we have bills to protect our children. Then you get the sentencing bill changed like we did. You know, I know I never thought that way in the beginning. But we're not just going to help ourselves. We're helping every child in the United States, in the world.
Yeah, but see, the rapists have been around for centuries, dear. Centuries.
Well, I know that.
That's when we have to start killing them.
In crisis time.
Exactly.
You know?
They killed them then. I bet you the rape numbers were not as big as they are today. Why? Because they were killing them off.
Oh, they're worse today. When you take
exactly, they're worse today because they're not getting killed.
But they are. You don't understand that. They are. They go to jail. They don't live. That's one thing I can tell you about men that go to jail if they rob. It's one thing. You put a pedophile, someone that goes in there and screws up a child's life, they kill them.
Oh, yeah,
they
a lot of times they do kill them. Even in PC, you know, you can get killed in protective custody, but it's still taxpayers' money, the deficit. Where's our money going? Where's this? You know, you're always concerned about your deficit and everything. Hey, start killing these guys off. Forget the taxpayers' money. Leave that in your pocket. Just whack the guy. Get him out of there. It costs a lot of money to keep a guy in jail for years.
Where are you going to work? Where are you going to end up?
All right. Before we get the pros and cons here, anybody else want to comment on this?
First off, you're dealing with the church. They've got more money than God. Oh, wait. They're supposed to work for God. I'm sorry.
That's so true.
But the thing is, they've got more money than God. And they've been able to disguise it, hide it. they've been able to do so many different things with what's been going on. They have managed to put other priests that have been caught and known to do this into other parishes with, again, children that they have molested.
Yeah, they just relocate them.
That's right.
So they should be held accountable. But you're right. But cutting off one's dick does not change a person's makeup. So that is not the answer.
That's right.
However, if you were to put them into a compound of four walls where they can't do nothing, they can't get on the internet, they can't watch TV, they can't even read. All they are allowed to do is meditate. What? You give them a Bible. That'd be good. Give them a Bible. You give them three squares, and that's all they can do. Nothing else.
Can I say this? It's not just priests. You have to write the bill up like we did to every pedophile that's walking out those streets.
Exactly. Everybody.
That's right. You got tennis players. Professional tennis players. You got police officers. We had a gentleman who was an NFL player out of Philadelphia that sat beside me, and he was raped by a policeman. So it's in every denomination. You know, it's teachers, it's lawyers, it's doctors. We have a case up here that a doctor raped his patients for many, many years, and when they went to arrest him, he took the coward's way out. He shot himself, killed himself.
Good for him.
You know, but I mean, it's everywhere. It's not just the church.
No, I understand that. But
you have to take a bill and get it passed that is going to change the laws. You know, you get caught once, you go on probation as a pedophile. You get caught twice, you serve 2 years. You get caught three times, you go away for 5 years. Well, they still come out and do the same things over. So this bill here is to change the sentencing bill for them, too. It's changed the bills for non-profitable organizations that they really get zacked by being sued. You know, I mean, there's so many ways that you can get them in the pocket, you know, that it's unbelievable.
But changing a bill don't make them change their way of thinking.
I know it, but it's a start. It's something that you have to do legally to get where you want to go.
People are too PC these days, so understandably you have to work around that. That's why you have to do it through the legality. You have to cross your I's, just like she said. You have to cross your I's. You have to cross your T's, or dot your I's, cross your T's, I should say. But the justice system is
corrupt.
You have
to change it.
And you have to change it. Correct. I'm a big fan of the three strikes rule. I'm also a big advocate for the death penalty, but I'm also, there's two sides. I mean, one of the papers I had to do was, you know, death penalty is great, but does it really, what does it solve? But then, you know, I mean, the whole, I have a problem with, if you're going to be in our prisons, you're taking up our tax money. And, you know, I mean, there's so much better things to do with that money. So either way, there's just so many. Americans really have to stand up for, they have to start going and standing up for themselves and making a change.
You got to start taking out the trash. And to me personally, there's only one way to do this, and that's what I mentioned. I mean,
yeah, you're an eye for an eye guy, an eye for an eye.
Hey, it says it in the Bible, an eye for an eye. That's it. If it's written in the Bible, you go to court, you're charged with something, what did they ask you to do? Put your hand on the Bible.
Yep.
I swear on the Bible. Well, if you want me to do that, you want to read the Bible first, judge, and then read that Bible and go with those rules? He took a life. We have all the proof. Not an innocent man. A lot of people get charged for innocent shit and stuff they didn't do. Yeah, you don't want them to get killed. Of course not. I'm here to tell you,
Bill and I had some issues. We had to deal with some people, and they subpoenaed Bill to go to court. They said I was the loose cannon. Go figure. But
You know, Phil, it just seems to amaze me. Maybe because I'm in this age bracket, but you know something, it's not about me. It's not about anybody that's on this panel. It's about protecting our children, and it's about time that our state separates the church from the state.
Well,
they
haven't
done that in a long time.
Let me finish. After 2 days of testimony, and Bill was released from the witness chair, on his way out, he stopped at the lawyer's table. Five lawyers sitting there, and he said, hey, I want to ask you guys a question. And he said it just loud enough for him to hear. But he said, when I raised my hand to take the oath, none of you guys raised your hand. Why? And one lawyer on the end leaned over and told Bill, you expect lawyers to tell the truth?
Exactly.
That's true.
They're professional liars, not professional lawyers.
Well, I think
Bill,
lawyers...
How come you're getting all this static?
Wait, one at a time.
I was going to say, I got to run. It was awesome to be a guest on your show, and I would love to do it again. If you ever need anybody on your panel, let me know. I would love to do it. I have a lot to say, and I'm very opinionated. Sometimes it's my downfall. Either way, it's been lovely meeting you guys.
That's okay, because that's what we're here for. This is what makes it work.
Keepa.
Is this Danielle speaking?
Yeah,
yes.
It's Danielle speaking.
Oh, it was a pleasure talking to you too, love.
Yeah, find me on Facebook. Look me up. Yeah, I'm around.
Yeah, I'll give you a Google and send you a nice hello.
All right, sounds great.
All right,
talk to you.
Have an awesome evening, everyone.
You too.
You too, Danny.
Okay, you too. All right, bye.
If I can also bring in the fact that if we could even start making the law equal,
crime against a woman versus a crime against a guy, the judge looks the other way when a man is violating a woman's rights. And until that changes, then very little is going to change. And what I mean by that is when a judge, a man, a husband, was actually found guilty in thumping his wife, putting her in the hospital, breaking a couple ribs, if he had done that to a stranger, he would have been thrown in jail. Because it was his wife, all the judge did is say, here, you're guilty, put your hands out. And he actually slapped the guy's hands and told him not to do it again. When you have that kind of justice, something's wrong.
Yeah.
Okay, this is not justice.
Yeah. See, in Canada, it was really, really relaxed that way until about 15 years ago. 15 years ago, if you smacked your woman around or something, you get a slap on the wrist. Now, they'll hang you. They don't put up with that at all. Anything against a woman, they will make an example out of that man in Canada. You don't get away with that shit out here no more. And I'm glad for that.
Well, what I say, until all of the justices that are serving as a judge or moderator, I don't care, until they're all on the same page of justice, and they have no right being there. They truly have no right being a judge if they can't change. If they change it to a woman doing that and can't give the same punishment, he doesn't need to be a judge. And so that's one of the places we actually have to start as well. Some of the judges are elected into the position. And unfortunately, in our electorate, voting, people don't go to see how a person actually makes his decision on punishment. And if we took our time and looked at how the judges are passing down a sentence, maybe it's time we actually advertise. This one, if you're a woman, this is not a judge you want because you're going to hurt. Personally, I think if someone does something wrong, you just put a dog collar on them and it gets close. It gets electrical shock, just like a damn dog. Gets close to a woman, gets a, you know, good shock. You won't do it no more. It's real simple.
Yeah.
If you do that for a dog, well, if he is a dog, then give it to him like a dog.
All right. So let me just tell you this story about a judge. I was in juvenile hall, and my child had been arrested like 25 times. And I said to the judge, you know, in juvenile court, only the parent can go in with the probation officer and social worker and the judge and detectives. And I said to the judge, my son needs to have a psychological workup, and only you as a judge can do that. And I remember the judge saying to me, Mrs. Blah, 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 if you open your mouth, I'm going to put you in contempt of court for $30. Back then, $30 was a lot of money, you know. And I looked him straight in the eye and I says, Your Honor, you better make it 60 because I'm not finished.
Good for you.
And he did. He made it 60. And I personally knew this judge. And he took me into the chambers with the two detectives and he says, Why do you do that? Why don't you learn to just listen? And I says, I'm beyond listening. That's my child we're talking about. But you have to do things like that.
Yeah.
You have to, you know. And people, and it's a sad thing, people don't get involved with things unless it touches their family somehow. It's like any kind of disease. If you have cancer, you have diabetes, you have this, people don't get involved and don't do things unless it's happened to you. when you have professionals getting up and talking about something that they read in a book, that's what pisses me off. How dare they get up there and tell you about pedophilia when they've never experienced it? Or
yeah,
you know, they just read it out of a book.
Or somebody told them what to say.
Exactly.
That's right. That's right. So, I mean, it's either you be committed to what you really want to do in this world, even if it's a little tiny dent that you make, at least if everybody made a little dent, it becomes a big hole and it starts spreading. But people don't do that anymore. That's where I'm coming from. And believe me when I say it's not recognition for me. It's not. It's not recognition for anybody else. It's recognition for our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren. Because with pedophilia, there's a ripple. It ripples through your whole family.
It destroys families.
Yes.
And then the next generation and the generation after that.
It has to be dealt with.
Stacey or Nora, do you guys have anything you want to join in with this?
Oh, no, they're doing fine. I'm just listening. I'm absorbing everything.
Okay.
It's the same thing, Phil, when people say, and you know as well as I do, the ones that complain the most don't even vote.
Nope.
I mean, how many times have you seen that in your lifetime?
A lot.
You know,
and my words are, if you don't vote, shut the fuck up.
That's right.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know? I mean, how can you change something if you don't get out there and do it?
Yeah, Fran wants to interject. Go ahead, Fran.
We're coming up on a really very important election.
Well, yeah, but if you look at the news and everything that's going on around us, they're trying to put it off.
But I'm hoping that people who are listening to this show, you know what? I don't care what your religion is. However, if we have a politician that's in place, and I'm not talking...
You're talking about the good old boys.
I'm talking the good old boys, Christian, bend over and let me kiss you people. If you put your religion above people, and that's what's happening, if you vote in these kinds of people that do not look at people's rights, and you vote them in, they should take the burden of the responsibility of what happens to us because they did not take their vote serious enough. All they saw was that this is a religious right person, and that's who I'm going to vote for. And if that's how they're voting, then they should not have the right to vote.
Then they're doomed for what they weep, let me tell you.
Well, but we all...
That's when I say you deserve what you tolerate.
That's right. And it's up to the people that vote to put them in place or take them out of place.
Nora, what do you say on that? Nora? She must put us on mute. How about you, Stacy?
Come on, Stacy.
The only thing, the biggest issue I have with the whole topic on tonight's subject, you know, I'm Catholic, proud to be Catholic. Not everybody that ever worked for the church was bad. And I just look at, you know, I'm proud of my religion. I'm proud of what it stands for. But, you know, I do feel that the people who did things wrong definitely need to be, you know, prosecuted.
Accountable for it. That's
right,
exactly.
Stacey. But, you
I'm
know,
a Catholic, too.
The thing that gets me is that, like, communities like, you know, the Amish, Orthodox, Polish, it can give you like several different others where they have like group leaders, they're within the community, they don't let too much outside of their community people know, and that stuff's going on there too. But I think the whole thing with like religion's targeted because, you know, the money factor, how much, you know, money it is, but I really just because it's a larger style organization, you know. But I would love for people to, you know, start coming back to church, et cetera. But I understand the stigmatization that goes along with it because they handled a really, you know, big and major thing in a very wrong way.
But it's not that, Stacey. Let me tell you about the Catholic Church. People ask me, I had a speaking engagement last night that I had to speak at. They say to me, how can you still be a Catholic? And I'm going to tell you, Stacey, straight out. It wasn't my God that wanted this for his children. You have to make the people that were in charge and the person that did it
accountable.
You have to charge them and make
right.
them accountable. And a lot of people said, wow, man, these boys are just suing for money. Let me tell you something. It's not the money. It's the recognition that these boys have to have.
I agree with everything you're saying 110%. But I think people, instead of attacking, you know, the priests who were guilty and, you know, whatever justification needs to be done, that's fine. And I... And the repercussions, higher-ups with them just shuffling priests around other different communities. You know, we're going back like 30, 40 years ago, and, you know, like you had said earlier, that stuff wasn't talked about. It was dealt with on a totally different level, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, we should blame the higher-ups of the Catholic Church for not handling things properly. But back then, how exactly were things handled? And see, that's where I come into play on, you know, not you, Eunice, but I'm sure if you took 50 people who have claimed molestation by a priest, you were going to find some that it never happened and for the money. And that's the thing that upsets me.
Do you know what you have to go through? Do you know when you accuse a priest?
Eunice, I know this much. My niece was brutally molested for a year. And it was by a close family member. And that cocksucker got 5 years and now lives at the top of the street, one street over from me.
But, Stacey, what I'm trying to tell you is this is not going to happen anymore. When they get sent away, when this bill is passed, this isn't about priests. This isn't about the Catholic Church. This is about pedophilia, about guys that rape girls, about guys that rape boys. It's a bill that is going to send them away for a long time.
Right, for
a long time. So it's not just about the Catholic Church. Please don't. I got involved in it because of what happened to my son.
Yeah. No, it's definitely not just at the church. Let's not just point fingers at the church. I mean, like I said, my father was a cop. He was a policeman. Serve and protect. So what did he do?
So it's every
denomination.
Attacks his own family. You know, that's why people have to make sure in each state. That's why I would like to really see it go to a federal level that the states that haven't passed this bill, that if it went to a federal level, that all our children would be protected. You know? I mean, seriously. I mean, it's not just the church. And when boys got raped by priests, I had to go to a deposition because of my son, Stacey. 2 days.
Yeah.
2 days They try to make me out to be the biggest whore in the world. They try to blame my son.
Oh, I so hear that because my grandmother, she's 95, okay? And when I was younger, she would sit us down, she'd tell us. She'd be like, you know, back when I was growing up, she said, you never, you know, she was appalled by the whole priest thing because she was a French Catholic, go to church 7 days a week. You know, she believed very strongly in her religion. And she said to me, she said, when I was younger, this stuff didn't happen. And I looked at her and I said, you know, Meme, I'm like, of course it did. I said, it's just your generation wasn't allowed to speak about it.
It was a dirty little secret. That's
right. And denial as well. Denial is such a big factor in this. Like, I mean, I thought about this many a times. What if I would have taken my father out at the age of 10 or 11 years of age? I would have served what? Maybe a year and a half in the youth home?
You would have served a lot more time.
Oh,
you
not
know,
in Canada. Oh, no. I'm not in the States here.
I don't know what Canada does, but I'm just saying that's
it'd
why.
It would probably be 2 years at the most. And the whole family would have been saved. My sisters wouldn't have been touched over and over again. And there's a big part of me that hates myself for not doing it. But then,
well,
like you say,
it's not your fault. And you know, that's where I hear you're blaming yourself.
Yes,
I did because I
tried to protect. And yeah, I did take a lot of blame. You're so right on that fact. You're 100% right.
I mean, I hear that.
I feel like
so
a failure.
Well,
yeah,
you're not
I feel like I feel like a failure to my sisters and the rest of the family. But I mean, I was a child. So, but it still lingers. I'm 51 years of age. I'm still haunted by this. Because I never had
because you have to deal
people
with
to
it.
Talk to. We never had that. We never had, people to talk to, like I say, you know, like community groups and stuff like you have. You know, we didn't have anything like that.
Well,
you couldn't go on a computer and talk your heart out to people. What are you going to do? Talk to a priest?
You know something.
Listen to me. None of us have it, only primarily because people are afraid of the subject. If you even went into a group and said, look, I've been here, I've been there, and you put down that gauntlet, you say, ask me any question you want, I will answer it honestly. They won't ask out of fear. The other thing that also happened is the mother, if it ended up being separated or divorced because the father did this, then the children were punished again because you stole her husband away from her.
Exactly.
She might have known that was going on, but she didn't care because she got to keep him. That was daddy. That was her husband.
Well, you
oh,
know
no, she
something.
Cared because if she didn't care, she wouldn't have went and talked to two attorneys. But she was so frightened. A little French woman with no job, living in an English community, she didn't have nothing to go to, nothing. And then they threaten her family. That poor woman. Holy Christ! My mom went through hell.
But don't you understand? All of the women did. Because now they were left with nothing. They were either stranded. They had nothing. There was a great amount of fear. And today.
Yeah.
Today,
no, I understand your point. I understand it clearly. I mean, my mom is still alive. God bless her. She lives two blocks from here, and we talk about it. Me and her talk about it all the time. You know, she blames herself, and I blame myself, and there's nobody to blame but him.
But you can't blame. You know, that's the sad part. I talk to a lot of survivors, and the reason they call me the mother of survivors is because they would say to me, I wish I had a mother as strong as you were. And I tell them, you can't blame yourself or your mother.
Oh,
you
no, I don't blame my mom at all. Oh,
but
by no means.
You're not listening to me. What I'm saying to you is when I talk to these, they're all grown men. Some are doctors, some are lawyers, some are, you know, I mean, they got wonderful careers. I only because I knew at that time something did happen.
Yeah.
And I believed my child. I'm going to believe, you know, I'm not going to believe my 6 or my 7 year old son.
And a lot of parents don't believe the children.
That's right, they don't. But the only way, reason I was more aware of it is because I went through it, and nobody believed me. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I was ahead of the time.
Yeah, you've
seen
it. You've seen it,
and
you felt
it, and I went
it.
Through it.
Yeah.
You know.
Well,
you
I want to tell you,
we're
out of time, but what I'm going to do is, if you guys want to pick this up Tuesday next week, we'll give it the whole show.
I would love that. I would love to talk to this panel again. They're a great bunch of people, and to tell you the truth, you guys helped me out a lot tonight, and I love yous for it. I needed the vent, and I'm glad I had some ears out there.
Bill, if you want to give him my cell phone number, go ahead and do that.
Okay.
Oh, that'd be fantastic. Thank you.
Yeah, just send me a refresher email, will you?
Yeah, I'll send you an email, Phil.
All right. I'll do that.
The most hated part is get over it. And it's like, until you've been red, don't you dare tell me to get over it. But you know what? We learn to live with it.
Yeah.
Well, you know something? The people that tell you to get over it, they've never experienced it.
Exactly. They should keep their fucking mouth shut.
You know? And like I said, those are the people that scream the loudest.
Mm-hmm.
You know? They really do.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't waste my time with people like that.
No,
and,
me
and
neither.
You get to know them, you know? But I'll just tell you this one thing. They said, "Who is that woman?" And the lawyer said to them, "Did you notice everybody crosses their legs when she comes walking in?" You know, and I love that because I'm not afraid to speak up. What are they going to do to me at 71?
Well, you are one solid woman, and I give you full credit. You're a great lady, and I'm very proud to have talked to you tonight. I really am.
Now, it's not being a great lady. It's being a mother. Being a grandmother, and it's being someone that cares enough to really want to protect our children.
Well, we're going into the archive right now. But what I want to do is, like I said, I'll give you guys all the time you want Tuesday. But I picked a George Carlin thing where he says, "Who really controls America?" So I'm gonna let that take us out. I appreciate everybody for calling and participating tonight, and I'll see you again Thursday. We're going to have Emilio, Paul, and Martine, and myself, and Bill, and we got some good stuff to talk about. So this is George Carlin, who really controls America, and I'll talk to you guys Thursday.
You bet, Phil.
All right, Phil. Be good.
Take care.
Yep, bye-bye.
There's a reason for this. There's a reason education sucks, and it's the same reason that it will never, ever, ever be fixed. It's never going to get any better. Don't look for it. Be happy with what you got. Because the owners of this country don't want that. I'm talking about the real owners now. The real owners, the big wealthy business interests that control things and make all the important decisions. Forget the politicians. They're irrelevant. The politicians are put there to give you the idea that you have freedom of choice. You don't. You have no choice. You have owners. They own you. They own everything. They own all the important land. They own and control the corporations. They've long since bought and paid for the Senate, the Congress, the state houses, the city halls. They got the judges in their back pocket. And they own all the big media news, all the big media companies, so they control just about all of the news and information you get to hear. They got you by the balls. They spend billions of dollars every year lobbying to get what they want. Well, we know what they want. They want more for themselves and less for everybody else. But I'll tell you what they don't want. They don't want a population of citizens capable of critical thinking. They don't want well-informed, well-educated people capable of critical thinking. They're not interested in that. That doesn't help them. That's against their interest. That's right. You know something? They don't want people who are smart enough to sit around the kitchen table and figure out how badly they're getting fucked by a system that threw them overboard 30 fucking years ago. They don't want that. You know what they want? They want obedient workers. Obedient workers. People who are just smart enough to run the machines and do the paperwork and just dumb enough to passively accept all these increasingly shittier jobs with the lower pay, the longer hours, the reduced benefits, the end of overtime, and the vanishing pension that disappears the minute you go to collect it. And now they're coming for your Social Security money. They want your fucking retirement money. They want it back so they can give it to their criminal friends on Wall Street. And you know something? They'll get it. They'll get it all from you sooner or later because they own this fucking place. It's a big club, and you ain't in it. You and I are not in the big club.